Suitors, we're here to talk about Suits, Season 7, Episode 13. Donna quit, or did she? Come on with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Legacy. The shoulders are a legacy.
Gotta do it.
Can't not do the shoulders here on this show. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the Suits After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter. Later, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm joined by JB Zimmerman.
You can, though.
I can't. You can. You can always join me on Twitter. I'll mention when and how at the end of the show.
Stay tuned for that.
And there's probably a lower third telling you already.
Totally. What's up, guys?
Yeah.
It's JB here. Weena is out this week, but you're back.
We're going to hold this down.
We are. It's a guy's night.
I was in New Mexico, and then I was in New Orleans. I didn't get a chance to go to New Haven or New York or New something. I didn't have a third one loaded up there. But
Vancouver, I think that's where they shoot this, right?
Toronto. They shoot this in Toronto. They shoot this in Toronto because they shot it in Vancouver. We're on the West Coast. We'd be up there way easier.
Right.
How are we feeling about this show?
Good. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, just kind of overall to see them like planting seeds for Mike and Rachel's departure. I mean,
a lot of that is happening.
Yeah. And so, you know, I get it because that's a huge change. I mean, Mike's half of the show. Like, he is.
Mike is a huge part of the show, and I think we've all been kind of bemoaning this in the two episodes leading into this episode. They gave us nuggets of, like, maybe that's how Mike gets out, that's how Mike gets out, but I think they're really starting to give it to us this week of, like, oh,
yeah,
that's probably how they're going to get Mike and Rachel out. Is they're going to do some type of extended – they're going to do some type of extended honeymoon.
Exactly.
Heading into this half of Season 7 – there's been a lot of talk about Megan leaving the show and Adam leaving the show and then the Jessica Pearson spinoff and this and that and this and that. Watching these three episodes, it still Suits.
Yeah.
No one's left yet.
True.
We're still very much just like, no, but like, well, how are they going to get out of this one, though?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. You know what who we haven't seen, though, is Dulé Hill. Like
we saw him 2 weeks ago, last week. We saw him.
He had one scene with Mike. Yes. Yeah, he had one scene with Mike. But I guess because he wasn't in this episode, I was like, oh, where?
He's like, if they can keep him around, he's the future of that. Him and Harvey are, if you're restructuring that show, they're the future of that show. And I don't necessarily want to speculate too much about what's going down with what's going down with all that as much as I'd rather they just show me. But I'm very curious.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because there isn't a character that can replace Mike in terms of what he and Harvey have together. Like that bro relationship.
Well, Mike is twofold for the show. One, he's – every show is going to have a sizzle and a steak. The steak is the character stuff that we got a lot of this week. The sizzle is like, well, why am I watching? And the sizzle of this show was always that Mike was a fake lawyer.
Right.
And we're way past.
Yeah.
Like,
we conquered that several seasons
ago. We're way past the whole Mike's a fake lawyer. Mike's like a real lawyer. It's not even an
issue
anymore.
Which is cool, too. I mean, to see him.
And, like, the fact that, like, we're sticking around for this steak because it's just good steak, like, is very interesting. And now to see, like, Mike leave the show and it's all kind of in shambles. We should start where they left us. Specifically with this Harvey, Paula, Donna threat.
It's a hell of a triangle, I'll tell you that right now.
So, Harvey and Paula are not right for each other. Because she was his therapist.
Clearly. Yeah, I mean, we've
not
discussed
enough
this
time.
Length, yeah.
I got a cake. I just want to point out, on this after show, I made it clear probably 3 years ago, the summer that they introduced Paula.
The breakup cake?
Everyone else on the panel was staunchly, they're going to get together at the end of this season. The season we were in, which at that point was probably season 5.
Right.
Lauren Ebersole specifically, so into it that she was like, you know what? And then I called her out on Twitter. I was like, you know what? Let's have a bet. Winner gets a cake, mocha fudge, because that's Lewis Litt's favorite cake.
It's a good call.
And then it was hashtag like therapist yes, therapist no. And there were battle lines, and I won. It was therapist no, y'all, because that's your therapist that's wrong. I think we were a little too big, because here we are years later, and Paula became
Yeah.
Paula became Harvey's bae, and, like, way too soon, like, less than 2 years after they'd been seeing each other. It's like, no, we're gonna... Or after they'd been seeing each other professionally.
Right, right.
As therapists. They're like, nope, we're back. It's frustrating. It was, like, this whole thing was frustrating in the sense that, like, every week I'd be like, so is that the thing where they just fall apart?
Right.
Nope, they're good now? All right, I'm weird. That's weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough to say because we're still pretty early in the season. I guess this is the third episode of this second half of the season. So we don't have a ton of episodes left, but we're I would feel a little cheated if they gave it up too fast. Like, exactly what's happening. I mean, they're kind of playing with it because they know, I think, that the audience expects it. Everybody is watching the news. It's hard to hide, like, the fact that a princess is in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, I kind of like that we're concluding some things, but, like, still playing around. Like, obviously the Paula Harvey situation we've discussed at length being not forever.
Just not great. Yeah. And it was definitely a not forever. There were very few people who were ever claiming that that was a forever business. I really liked the way they handled it this episode.
Yes.
Because I was watching this episode with my girlfriend who has not really seen Suits. And even by the middle of this episode when Paula laid down an ultimatum of, like, you have to fire Donna.
It's pretty aggressive.
My girlfriend, who granted has not lived lived with Paula or Harvey or Donna as characters, the little she had gotten of Donna was like, oh, screw Paula.
Yeah.
No, you don't get to say that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that Paula is not right for Harvey. I mean, she, like, they just come from such drastically different worlds. Plus, the way that they kind of began the relationship is weird and
unhealthy.
You know, unhealthy. Thank you.
Unhealthy is a
perfect way to describe it.
It's what a psychiatrist would call it.
Right. And that being said, I just don't. I'm not rooting for Harvey and Donna to end up together. I like that they have a great relationship, and it is messy and it is unclear. Like Donna said, like, it's never
love.
There's never not going to be love there. It's
love takes many forms, and they've always explored that with Harvey and Donna.
Exactly, and on that note, I mean, I think that they do love each other, but they're not in love with each other, and like that's, I almost don't want them to have both. I appreciate that they have the working relationship.
I agree with you that this show would be real, real weird if Harvey and Donna were just together.
Yeah, it's just like it's normal, mixing too much.
And together, and then we just move forward. We're like, hold up, what?
Right.
Wait, what? Nah, that's weird. But Paula lays an ultimatum. Harvey considers it, gets Donna a job offer. Donna takes the job offer, gives Harvey her resignation, and then he tears it up and breaks up with Paula, which felt great. I'm not going to lie. That felt really, really great to just be like, no, you know Donna. We know Donna. Who is Paula?
Yeah.
Is how it felt
true,
for me.
Yeah. I think that they, in a lot of ways, are like, I mean, I would say Harvey and Mike are probably best friends, but right below that are Harvey and Donna.
But they're definitely besties. Yeah. This one kind of got, like, I feel like this arc with Paula actually did crescendo at the correct time this week.
Right,
to be like, okay, cool, she's out. Harvey's going to probably philander.
True, and I think that it was, you know, for all the Paula hating that we've done, I do think she was a necessary part in the storyline to really have Harvey evolve as a character. Like, he's changed dramatically. Like, he's confronted so many things, and he's so much more of an open person now. In terms of, like, how he can handle just his own past. Like, he's made up with his mom completely.
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know, he's able to share things that are, like, super hard and, like, that he's just, like, scared to. Like, you know, that would obviously hurt someone that he's with. He's able just to kind of move past that and just, like, you know, share the hard truths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously that was an episode title not too long ago.
Of course.
So but he's, like, comfortable doing that now. And to, you know, where he has always had this exterior where he never liked to be or never, like, was seen in a vulnerable state. You know, now he's kind of able to, like, to be there and rise above it at the same time, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, I like it. And I like to see what's next for Harvey, where, like, because this is the path to self-actualization. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a lot of muddiness between Harvey and Donna that it's never going to be simple until they can both Because at one point Harvey was ready and Donna wasn't, and at another point Donna was ready and Harvey wasn't. The point in which they're both ready is the point in which the story ends for us.
Yeah.
So those dials are going to constantly be off until they ride off into the sunset together, which...
Right.
I don't know if the show keeps happening. The show keeps rolling. Yeah. The show keeps rolling.
Maybe that's why I am against it so much, is because when that does happen, then it's like I can't watch the show anymore once they're together. You know what I mean?
But
like,
let's give some credit to the writers of the writers and creators of this show. Mm-hmm. We would have said that 5 years ago, 3 years ago, about Mike being found out as a fraud, about Mike going to prison, about Mike becoming a legitimate lawyer. That just because those feel like end game end the show things, this show has proven doesn't mean that they are. Yeah. They're just things that for a certain amount of time, like, you should keep together. And then writing and creation and, like, creativity come from a place by which you can straight up say, well, hypothetically, hypothetically, what if Harvey and Donna were just together tomorrow? Like, what if both those dials were perfect and we move forward with them just as a cohesive unit with no problems?
Right.
Like, how does the office run smoother? Does everyone resent them? Like, how does that get us there? And then in the creative process, that could also get you as a writer's room to places... Two places you wouldn't have otherwise been, that you can then ignore the game changer stuff and then take all the good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, we're on iTunes, y'all.
Yeah, we are.
We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. We're on Stitcher, probably. We're on a lot of good stuff that you can rate, like, subscribe, tell your friends.
Please do,
tweet the link. All the fun stuff to let more people know that this show is here and happening. And it's what you like,
right?
So that more people glom to it, so then we can become the water cooler in the... It's not... Hartman's not on the wall anymore. It's the Spectre-lit... We're the Spectre-lit water cooler now. Yeah,
Pearson's
we're doing
off
it.
The wall, too.
The Spectre-lit, soon-to-be Ross, but probably Rachel, not Mike, with that law firm. It's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Let people know. Let people know in the comment... when you leave the comments for the 5-star review, that's who you're listening to and why. I just made a joke about Mike and Rachel Ross.
Yeah.
It's going to be, like...
That's happening.
Ross Zane? Like, you can't... Or Zane Ross? Like, you can't make that better.
Right.
There's no way making that better. She's just Rachel Ross.
Yeah.
That's going to be her name. Yeah. So they keep having problems with the future. And I don't... You can tell me how you felt about this scene, but me personally... This scene with the not Reverend, the father.
Father Walker.
Yes, Father Walker.
Yes.
The scene with Father Walker, by which he was screaming, like, they were kind of in a screaming match, and he was talking about how, I don't know what I want.
Right.
That felt kind of contrived for this episode, specifically for the promo that they aired for 5 weeks. Is that, am I alone in that?
Yeah, no, you're not alone. I feel like scene to scene
that this turned on a dime.
Yeah. I mean, I think that... Yeah, I think Mike was, like, overly aggressive in what he – in, like, not knowing anything, because he seems to, like, have his mind made up most of the time. I mean, not that he's got, like, you know, a steadfast, like, this is the way or the highway, like, I'm going to bulldoze past you.
Whereas he knows my future's with you and everything else is unwritten.
He's a pretty easygoing guy. That being said, I was surprised to see that he had such trouble putting anything down on – on his questionnaire.
Well, at the very least, on the questionnaire, where do you see yourself in 10 years with Rachel?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would have seen...
Where do you... I don't know is an answer.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I get...
I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't think it's important for me to plan. Like, I think that's...
Right. I mean, I get why, like, because the effect of him not filling it out was, like, very impactful to Rachel and kind of allowed her to have, like, a blow up with him. But I feel like they could have also accomplished it. Maybe it would have taken more time if he, like, had filled it out with, like, BS answers. Like, yeah, some were cool. Like, you know, in love with the radio. Like, very vaguely.
Very vaguely. And then, like, that would have been – but then that wouldn't have been as much of a conflict. We needed Rachel to turn on that dime. And I think she was turning on that dime for a lot of reasons. But, like, I think it was very – like, it didn't ring very true to me. Because, like, the scene before that and then the episode before that, they were super lovey-dovey. And, like, how do we work on cases together? And it's all this stuff. And then – like, next scene is like, what? You didn't fill out the form?
Yeah. Really? I mean, it's very unlike Mike to not do anything. Because he's, like, such a – he's a genius. So he just, like, thinks so many moves ahead. So you would have thought that
– You would think, the scene before he would have brought up some type of contention to the form.
Mm-hmm.
that's, I don't know. I still enjoyed, these two are just fire together. They've been the entire time. It's going to be really sad when they both leave the show. God, what?
It's such a,
why though?
Just such a big band-aid that they're pulling off at one time. Like, man, it's rough.
They're just going to change everything. It's going to be, well, I don't even, God, I don't even want to talk about it. I just want to talk about,
it's pretty sad.
I already mentioned I watched this episode with my girlfriend, right. And I think we both agreed that that's a cool, like, the BS.
Right.
To call BS, and then you kind of get to talk, you kind of get to talk freely about the future.
Right.
Without any actual commitment is kind of cool.
Yeah, just like spitballing. I like that idea where they're like, yeah, hypothetically,
it's something I already do, of just like, hey, Just don't look into it. Just throw it into the world.
Yeah.
What do you think about us going?
No, I think that's super healthy. Like, I mean, with a partner that you're going to be with and you know, engaging in that marriage, like, you should be able to think out loud.
Yeah, like, hypothetically, if I go to clown college.
Right. Exactly.
Would you look at me differently? Would you?
Totally.
You've mentioned you're not into clowns, but you're into me. And if I were a clown,
then
would I be helping you?
Exactly.
And how you feel about clowns? Yeah. Would I be? I'd be helping you. It would be exposure therapy.
Exactly. Speaking of communication, though, Lewis and Sheila not doing as well with that. I mean, I do like Lewis kind of getting out of his comfort zone and being like a bad boy for once, and just like, you know, being on the other side just to experience. More because he's taken so much just to the face pretty much.
And the 1986 flashbacks from last week were just so heartbreaking and like so sad. Properly explained of like why
he's like
he feels
that.
The
way
he feels, and this Lewis and Sheila business, I don't know,
that's another thing that seems a little short-lived, just because like if she's the type of person that would do that, I think Lewis might ultimately realize that he doesn't want to be with that person. Like, I want Lewis to be happy, and I know, or I just feel like when he met her fiancé, and, like, she didn't tell him, like, not to come, like, it was just, like, a very...
Well, because like, she... Well, first off, when bad people do bad stuff,
right.
Bad stuff happen. Like, I'm a firm believer of... If you meet a woman at a bar,
right.
or you see someone you haven't seen in a long time, and they happen to be married, and they never give you that information,
mm-hmm.
that's completely acceptable. Versus if you willingly know that they're married and you get involved
Very true.
That situation, I'm not saying there's complete logic to it. But if you involve yourself in that situation, you put yourself in a position to get hurt.
Right.
So even with the breakthrough Lewis had last week to choose to be bad.
Right.
He still put himself in the same position he did in 1986 and a couple times after, where he's just very much, oh man, I'm never gonna be like, especially with Sheila, who he puts on a pedestal.
Right.
Like, the only way this wasn't gonna work is if he didn't put Sheila on a pedestal, and he still puts Sheila on a pedestal. So when he walks in and sees her with a man she's about to marry, like, he can't help but think, like, that's exactly what I wanted.
Totally. And I think for Lewis, it's, like, so complicated because, A, like, now he feels like how being on the other side is, and, like, being that person that is causing so much pain to someone else. He can actually, like, it's, like, personified now. He sees the dude that he's intentionally, like, ruining the life of. So I think that eats at him
on one end. Yes, it takes two to tango. But he's not ruining that guy's life. Or do we feel like Sheila would only ever cheat on her fiancé with Lewis?
Well, see, that's the thing.
That's the question.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's another, like, I think that he not only sees that, like, hey, I'm doing a bad thing, and, like, I know, like, this person has a face. He's not just, like, a figment of my imagination. Like, I've met the dude.
I think once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
Is how I feel about Sheila.
And I think that because, Lewis has grown up on the other side, being the dude that's been cheated on. The last thing he ultimately wants to be is that, you know, a causer of that kind of negativity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's – the way, like, you know, the flashbacks kind of have showed it in such a great light. Like, that is such a terrible part of his past and what happened to him. And, like, for him to – start that cycle on the other side, I think he's going to recognize it or at least Dr. Lipschitz is.
I think Dr. Lipschitz is definitely going to help him. I'm standing by my prediction. Right. My prediction that we're eventually going to lose Dr. Lipschitz. Oh, man, to have him, because that's the only way he's really going to learn to move on. Because as at this point, Dr. Lipschitz is like a certain, like a rock in his life. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think to truly self-actualize and move forward, it's, you need to be able to deal with stuff without having to call your doctor.
Right.
So I think that's moving forward. I've already made that prediction. So speaking of predictions.
Speaking of predictions.
Bad segue. Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we have got the podcast for you. Conversations with Marie Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Friday is tomorrow. So if you're listening to this the day after we recorded it,
right.
There's a new episode right now. You can just go get it. Conversations with Marie Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that we sent you. We, the Suits After Show, the Spring 2018 Suits After Show. I'm kidding, the After Show hasn't changed that much. Sent you here. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Go ahead and check it out. It's a great show.
It is. Very good.
Oh, our chat got lit all of a sudden. I like it.
Nice.
Well, you talk about Lewis, your chat gets lit up. I like it.
Totally, yeah. I mean, he's a great character. And, like, I really like his evolution, too, you know, into a much more well-rounded character. I mean, in the early days, he was just, like, kind of the nemesis, enemy, and he's really – I love Lewis now. Like, I'm a huge fan. You know, he's
wait,
one
this
of my
this turned you on? Like, I think
it's just
been
like, you know, we've been growing with Lewis, and he's grown a lot as a character. I feel like he, more than anyone, has kind of turned a new leaf in general and become like a much better human being.
No, be I definitely agree that it. I definitely agree that it's
because yeah, I mean, like Donna is Donna. Like, she pretty much hasn't changed at all. She's probably changed the least, which is good because
she's changed in how she views herself. But people always viewed her as like a samurai.
Yeah, okay.
She took that to mean something completely. Like, she's taken that rightly to mean something completely different.
True.
And that's very helpful.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Let's do a couple shout outs in the chat.
Nice,
Lindsay,
please do.
Lindsay Ivory Neptune. Paula needs to visit Dr. Lipschitz. That's really funny.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people could help.
Yeah,
could gain from a little session with the doctor.
Forever Love is in our chat. Emily Norton is in our chat. Danielle.
Nice.
Heggy. Eyes and L's look real weird, probably because I need glasses. Thank y'all. We're in the chat. We're talking. We're doing stuff.
Nice, yeah.
Let's get into the main case of
yes,
the night.
The case. The Teddy Doyle case. Really interesting. I mean, I like that they kind of pulled at the heartstrings for both, like, Harvey and Mike. I mean, for Harvey, obviously, it was like a longtime friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, you know, it was like a do good type of case. So I think like they needed that because the setup was something that they didn't really have like cause to go after. I mean, the Teddy sold his company.
Mm-hmm.
That person sold it again. And then they're restructuring, which.
That's,
you know,
I
kind
like
of,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's just like, it
every
was
now and again, and every now and again when they do these corporate law cases, it's good to just have them be on the right side.
True.
Of,
yeah,
like,
no, I love that. And like, it was so much fun.
This good dude wanted to sell his company, but his only promise was that his employees got to keep their jobs, which is, I mean, there are ways, mm-hmm. if we're now pushing for employee equity, there was a way to do that on his way out the door. But that didn't happen, and now he's doing everything he can to keep his employees, the people who got him to a place where he can sell the company and retire.
True.
Like, so he's trying to help those people. So I like that we're on the side of the little guy, where it's still very much billionaires fighting other billionaires.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah,
they're
like 200 million, 500 million. I was like, whoa. I want to do those deals.
Yeah, like that's one company. I want to be involved in like one of those deals, and then I'm done. Like, I don't think, like, I think I'm learning. I've learned very recently I don't have the stomach for a lot of this where, like, okay, cool, can I just, like, sell the thing, and then just go about my stress-free life for the rest of my life? Kind of.
Would be nice.
That's what we're all trying, right? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'd love to make the Mega Millions as well.
Yeah, like, this case, I liked this case because it involved a lot of the financial
stuff.
I did
too.
Which is the creator of the show, Aaron Korsh. That's where that's the sector he actually came up from. Is the financial sector, which is why so much of the financial stuff of this show ranks so true.
True, and I think it was a lighter flair for because there's so much heavy stuff, relationship stuff with all the characters, Paul and Harvey and Donna, Lewis and Sheila, Mike and Rachel, like all that's so like heavy and largely
super
negative.
Super heavy and super negative. It was cool to just see what we like this show.
Exactly. Have fun.
The candy of this show characters, is Harvey and Mike slow walking into
exactly,
an office.
Exactly.
Just be like, you're going to take this deal.
Yeah. No, I love that. I mean, it was fun. They hit like some roadblocks, but like nothing they couldn't handle and just kind of did their thing. And it was like nice to see, you know, them hit opposition and just kind of like bulldoze their way around it, or like, you know, do a spin move and
it was nice to see that it wasn't like the last 2 weeks were like pretty serious cases right. about like of stature mm-hmm. with like the firm and Jessica and this, and like it's nice that this week was just like
let's do what we do.
So it's like a $500 million slam dunk.
Yeah,
just help some little guys.
What's 300 mil? Not a big deal. We can
like Mike.
We can figure out multiple ways. To
Mike
make that
still
happen.
Has time to not fill out that form.
Yeah, exactly.
Still can make like Harvey can still make dinner with his right. mom. Like it's just a regular, like a run of the mill case for them.
Yeah, which is nice because you know again the tide is turning. We can all sense that they are planting some seeds. You know there was like that. A little bit of banter between Harvey and Mike talking about like, oh yeah, you know, mm-hmm. like you like this now, but you know, maybe it's not always going to be the case. You're going to miss me, like blah blah blah.
Oh God, I heard that and I was like, oh man, so they're like, laying that for
you
us.
Know, like, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that they're building up, and things are probably going to get very intense very quickly with this mm-hmm. season. So it's not, you know, it's we need the fun episodes too, like this. You know, I could totally
this is a nice
again.
Fun, yeah, like this is just a nice fun get in, get out kind of a fun episode.
Yeah.
I guess we have to talk about Gretchen because we didn't get the Gretchen. We didn't get the Gretchen in the Lewis business, mm-hmm. and then after that we can get the predictions.
Totally.
Love Gretchen. Always loved Gretchen.
She's the best. She's second to Donna, obviously. But.
I remember years ago when Donna put that resume list
mm-hmm.
on Lewis's desk, and weird people like me took screenshots of it.
Was
Gretchen top? Gretchen was second to the top.
Okay. Wow.
But she had Gretchen had experience as a paralegal, like 12 years experience as a paralegal, and she wanted to be administrative
right.
assistant. And I was like, you got to hire Gretchen. Like, yeah. I was on record on this show. Yeah. But you got to hire Gretchen. And the next week they hired Gretchen. We were all real happy. So
nice.
I didn't ride or die with Gretchen.
Nice. Well, she's a boss. Like, I love how she just kind of took control and pulled rank on Lewis and knew that something would upset him and kind mm-hmm. of, you know, didn't. Put his newspaper out. Like, I think she knew that he was, you know, Lewis is a creature of habit such that he would definitely need his morning paper
yeah.
if that's what he does every day. So I think, you know, her knowing that, it was kind of like, it was a move just to be like, hey, I'm going to do something, see what happens.
Yeah, like, I'm going to see,
like,
see, this is how
just,
I'm
like,
going to
kind of testing the, this testing the waters
this
a little bit.
This is how I'm going to broach this topic.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked out for her, you know, because she needed that information in order to do her job. You know, obviously she's approached by Rachel later in the episode, and she needed to know what was going on in order to kind of, again, be that gatekeeper of mm-hmm. of what's going on, of Lewis. And so she needs to kind of, you know, the assistants in their universe need to kind of play those games in order to get information that their bosses, like, aren't really ready to say publicly or aren't, you know, maybe not even fully fleshed out in their own minds. So I think that she does a great job of kind of manipulating the situation within reason. It wasn't, mm-hmm. like, you know, over malicious or anything like that. I think she just – it was a very sly move.
I'm
very
about
impressed.
It. You ready for some predictions?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's get up on these predictions. So.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. How do Mike and Rachel lead the show?
I think – I mean they talked a lot about their – like a vacation thing.
Like a year-long
honeymoon. Yeah, a year-long vacation. I think it's going to be more than that. I think they're going to have an opportunity to start something of their own. And that's something that they will – like that actually makes sense. Because it's like, you know, they're both such smart people that I – you know, maybe they do like a year in Iceland or something like that, just like vacation for a while, which they could do. But I feel like there has to be something beyond Harvey Litt or like Spectre Litt
that maybe
that like is drawing them to stay away. Well, maybe and the only thing I can think of is like their own firm, their own,
or they start, you know, the, or they run that legal clinic,
right? Or yeah, or maybe they have a baby. Boom.
All right, I see three possibilities. One, baby, but how does that get Mike away?
Four possibilities. I don't know. Maybe she, like
four
I feel
possibilities.
Like,
okay. One, baby, and then Mike goes and runs.
Right.
She goes away to like have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mike goes away to run that clinic. Two, they break up.
Whoa.
They break up and then they both go their separate ways out of heartbreak.
See, that's if they break up, I feel like Mike is gonna need like the Harvey thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And three, which seems most logical, they encounter some kind of case between now and the whatchamacallit, the wedding.
Right.
They encounter a case that completely just turns them off to corporate law, and maybe they even see Harvey in a bad light. They see Jessica in a bad light. They see Robert Zane in a bad light. They see everyone they've ever known in such a terrible light. All of corporate law in general, that they're like, the whole thesis of the show is that like Mike is out only to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And that he truly realizes he cannot help them from a major law firm. And that they just take a buyout. They take a buyout and completely leave and run that clinic as husband and wife. I guess that's my prediction.
Well, yeah, no, I feel I hear that. I kind of tried to flesh this out a little bit last episode, but I think now that you've said that, it's a little bit more clear for me. I feel like maybe this is another prediction. What if something happens to Robert Zane,
and she inherits a bunch of money,
right? Or that she inherits the company, and you know, like maybe he says, like, you know, the one thing I don't want to like weave is like the legacy of like our name, the Zane name. Like, please, like, dying wish, you have to run my company. And then Rachel's like, I have to do this. Maybe she's got to be pulled away. And she's like, Mike, I need you there. Tell me.
Fair.
And then it's like, obviously, I'm going to choose, like, my wife has to do this. I have to go with her.
Quick one, quick prediction, only because I wasn't here last week. What do you think Jessica needed that money for?
Ooh, good. Starting her own biz. Because the spin-off.
Starting her own biz, but
why?
Like, that's the...
I think she got, like, a one-time, like, maybe expiring deal to, like, get an office or, like, get, like, something.
Like, something about... Because it had been often reported that that episode was a backdoor pilot for the Jessica Pearson spinoff.
Yeah. No, I feel like because she just got disbarred, she's not going to be doing the same thing.
Well, she wasn't disbarred. She was just...
She was disbarred.
Wasn't... But, no, didn't they defame her in a way that she... They defamed her so she wouldn't get disbarred.
Okay, maybe.
They defamed her specifically so she wouldn't get disbarred. So she's still barred.
Okay,
she's still barred.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess then it's got to be something in that realm. I feel like she either had to pay someone off or maybe it was like on her. Maybe there were multiple people trying to push the disbarment or something.
Mm.
Or just like that she needed to set up like some type of thing to be eligible in Chicago or what have you. I think it's got to be related to her being – her contingency plan.
Donna and Harvey, do they stay away?
Definitely. I don't see them getting together until like soonest.
Endgame. That's endgame.
I don't want
I do think they're each other's plus one for this wedding though.
I can see that.
Who's Lewis's plus one to the wedding?
Ooh, he's not going to get a plus one. I don't think so.
Wow.
I think maybe he's going to – well, I mean, Rachel already talked about like he – you know, she was going to offer him one. I don't think he's going to bring Sheila though. That's a
no,
mess.
I don't think he's going to bring Sheila. Yeah. I just think he – do we think he's going to make up enough ground that he's going to like be in a healthy relationship with a woman. I don't know. Maybe part of what he needed last week, like the self-actualization of last week, where you're like, I need to be a bad boy. It's like, well, no, you just need to learn that people have physical and emotional needs and that they're separate and that it's completely acceptable to just be in a relationship with someone just to meet physical needs. That's not what you were doing with Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
You pedestaled Sheila. I don't think we're going to see it, but a very promiscuous Lewis would be fun.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. I mean, maybe I kind of want Lewis to go stag and to be able to like be introduced to people and meet someone new. You know, I think he's had so many toxic relationships that have all hurt him in the end for one reason or another. And I want him to find someone that like is good for him.
You know I think we all definitely want Lewis to like
to just meet a nice girl,
to meet a nice girl that
That gets him, yeah.
But that isn't married. That isn't.
Yeah, isn't married, having someone else's child. Isn't,
like,
yeah.
Just like.
You know, wants to start a
like
family.
So many toxic
yeah.
relationships no, where totally. He just need. Like, I think he needs to slow it down and just find.
Right.
Lewis, you just gotta get yourself a nice girl. Go to a
exactly.
church.
We believe in you, Lewis.
Farmer's
you can
Market.
Do it.
Tinder? I found hey. Tinder's. I have a lot of success on Tinder.
Really?
I
mean, hey, there you go.
It is what it is. Do you have any predictions at large?
Oh, I mean, I really don't want – I don't think any of the characters – I don't think Mike, Rachel, Harvey, Donna, or Lewis are going to die. I don't – I
this doesn't one. Strike me as the – like
it's
the
just like it doesn't seem
where
like,
people
yeah.
drop dead.
Right.
Like that would be jarring, and I'm sure it comes up mm-hmm. in a sense of like anything can happen.
Yeah.
But this isn't – like last week – was it last week or this week where Lewis had a gun?
It was this week. I mean, it
like
was
Lewis
role,
having
role
a gun,
playing.
Like the Lewis yeah. having a gun like, to me yeah. was incredibly yeah. out of character for
yeah.
this show.
Definitely,
and like to know that it was a part of a role play made sense.
Yeah,
that, like similarly, like anyone in this show dying, I'm
yeah.
like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Like
including Robert Zane. Robert Zane, that would be
a shock. Like that be, even that. I feel like that's the max in terms of a character that we know.
A character we know that can
able,
die.
Yeah, yeah, that can like pass away. And he's old. Yeah, as like, you know, he's not that old. But like,
they mention a lot that he doesn't
yeah.
eat well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, know. He's the only one to me that, like, makes any
right.
sense. I don't, this isn't a death list show.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're good. So, we're here now. But if you're not watching us live, you can still reach out to us and talk to us.
Yeah,
JB,
definitely.
Where can the people find you on all the things?
Absolutely. You guys can follow me on all of the social media interwebs at HeyJohnBlake.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. I also do a lot of cool stuff with a lot of wrestlers. So if you're into pro wrestling, Twitch, USA Network, characters welcome.
Cool. There you go.
I do a lot of, I run a lot of YouTube pages for them, so I tweet those links out. A lot of fun stuff. For JB Zimmerman, I'm Steve Kaufman. Thank you, suitors. Boy. And see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.